When Fiona Johnson's work schedule didn't match her childcare responsibilities, she filed a human rights case. It went to the federal court and she won. Because of this, workplaces are now required to reasonably accommodate the schedules of working parents. But not everyone may benefit because the laws applied on a case-by-case basis. To find out what this decision means and how it will affect working parents, we're joined by Andrea Morozik. She's the executive director at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and her writing about childcare and women's issues has appeared in many publications across Canada. Good morning.
Good morning.
So help us out. Can you explain this case to our listeners?
Yes, it started when Fiona Johnstone, working for the Canadian Border Services Agency, asked for some accommodations in order to care for her children. I think she wanted to have a condensed work schedule so as to be able to not need to rely on family members as much for child care. She asked her employer, and they said no. She accepted a different work schedule, but at the same time started a human rights tribunal case, which she won. It was appealed, and it went to the federal courts, where she subsequently also won. So the verdict essentially says that employers need to be making reasonable accommodations for their employees on the grounds of family status.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it's good and it's bad. So the good side is that employers should be making these reasonable accommodations, that it is in their benefit as well as the benefit of the employee. And the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada has long asked and discussed and wanted for employers to privately be making these reasonable accommodations on the grounds of family status, because we all know that work-family balance is very difficult for parents. The bad side is that there might be some unintended consequences to a decision like this when we take things to the courts and then it is generally applied equally across all businesses. It might be harder for small businesses to apply a decision like this, more difficult than, for example, for the public sector where Fiona worked, and more difficult than for a large corporation. And the bread and butter of our economy is really these small businesses. And so it might be a little bit more difficult to apply there.
Now, I guess the key is reasonable accommodation. Does
mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that they must find you a different shift. Because
mm-hmm.
if they're just not able to accommodate you, then the law is on their side?
Yeah, and that's a bit of a difficulty of the decision as well, because reasonable is a moving target. Most people are going to understand what that means. Most people know what the job description is before they sign on the dotted line. For example, you're not going to tell your employer, if you're in the service industry, that you're going to do the work after the kids go to bed, because at that point the mall is closed, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So reasonable is largely self-evident, but at the same time, it could be a bit of a moving target where you could hit up on some disagreements over what reasonable actually means, as Fiona did in her case.
So what if it is, the nature of the job? For example, an early morning radio show. So someone wouldn't apply for that then, right? Or they can't expect someone to accommodate them in that circumstance.
Well, that's exactly it. You
okay.
wouldn't apply for the early morning radio show and then tell them you'll work after the kids go to bed in the evening. So that's exactly it, that reasonable. It's reasonable on both sides. The employer should be reasonable and the employee should be reasonable. In this case, you can't help but think that Fiona was being perfectly reasonable, and it's a shame that it had to go to the courts, because there actually appears to be little reason why she could not have had that request fulfilled in a manner without turning to the courts.
How far do you think this goes in addressing the needs of parents?
Well, it's hard to say, and I'd stress that I'm not a lawyer. Obviously, the preferable situation is to be having discussions, and it might embolden parents who are having a hard time to go and talk to a supervisor and have a discussion around that. Obviously, you don't want to be doing so with the threat of litigious action hanging over you, so I'm not sure what the practical ramifications for parents in the workplace will actually be.
Mm-hmm. How fair is it, though, for someone who perhaps doesn't have any children and the best shifts go to the other person because they can't find childcare?
Well, and that's exactly it. When we talked earlier about what is reasonable, you're hitting on the problem there, that that's going to mean different things to different people. And you have single people who shouldn't be taken advantage of simply because they don't have kids. So this is exactly what employers are going to be struggling with. And that's why I spoke about possible unintended consequences for people who either have families and want to re-enter the workforce. Will this be a disincentive to hire those people for smaller businesses, for example? And what will happen for single folks working hard who don't want to be shortchanged?
Mm-hmm. Working the night shift all the time, for example.
Yeah.
Now, what about that last point you made? Do you think it's possible that this decision could have a detrimental effect, that women, because it's mostly women, I think, that this affects, may not get hired if a business is forced to accommodate them?
Yeah, and we won't know that answer, but I do know that just anecdotally, I was speaking to a friend of mine who's a young mother, has taken a bit of time off to be with her kids, and I was telling her about this court case, and she said immediately, oh, it sounds like she won the battle, but not the war. This mother immediately became concerned about precisely that. Would it be more difficult for her to re-enter the workforce? And that remains to be seen. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that at this point.
Mm-hmm, because it's not something that people would actually talk about directly. Now, on the flip side, do you think that employers could benefit in a way by providing this sort of work flexibility?
Exactly, yeah. And there is a move toward flex time amongst certain sectors of the economy that it is beneficial for the employer as well as the employee. There are certain sectors where this will be a workable solution. Other sectors, not so much, as we discussed. For example, service industries, you can't move that around. Or, for example, if you are the morning show host, you can't claim to want to be the evening. So certain sectors certainly do benefit from offering flex time, and it is to the benefit of the employer as well as the employee to have that balance achieved. People who are happy in their home life, generally speaking, are better employees at the same time. We already know that.
Well, I'm sure there will be plenty of fallout from this. Andrea, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you for having me on.
That was Andrea Mrozek speaking about the federal court's decision to make workplaces more accommodating for working parents with childcare commitments. She's with the Institute of Marriage and Family in Canada. We reached her in Ottawa.